chat away there now. And my next guest on the line will be known to all of you around Cork. It is a comedian, Chris Kent. Hiya, Chris. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks a million. First of all, congratulations on being Cork Person of the Month. How does it feel?
Oh, sure. I won't stop until I'm king now. This is a problem, Moana.
Well, does this mean you have parking on Pana now at any point?
Oh, I take it, yeah. School of Music is where I'm kind of after. That's where I'm after a spot. Down to School of Music. Because it's a disaster down there dropping your kids off, like, you know.
Totally, but that is elitist now down there, you know, the School of Music.
Yeah, like, I would expect nothing less now. It's kind of up around a little parking space there for me, you know.
But you know, it's a great achievement, and you know, I love all those sort of things. You're in now for Cork Person of the Year. What would you be like then if you won that?
I mean, I'd probably feel guilty looking at the other people of the month that are doing lovely charity work and everything like that. So I'm happy enough a Cork Person of the Month, to be honest with you. So, but it's great. It's great even to be in the nomination for the yearly one as well.
Absolutely. And in fairness, you do bring joy to a lot of people. So, you know, charity work, that's all I can say. Joy is better.
Yeah, that's true. I changed my mind, actually.
Yeah.
You
deserve it. So tell me, just to talk to you a little bit about how things are going for you at the moment before we chat about what's going on in Ballycotton. But you're doing very well. You're enjoying it. You seem to be enjoying it every time I'm watching you. Things are going great for you.
They're going brilliant. You know, now it's really taken a nice break there in the last, I would say, year. Because I left work and I've done comedy full time before in the past for 12 years, and I really wanted to get back to it full time, and I sort of just took another dive at it, really. And my wife was like, you need to really throw yourself into it now and put all your videos out there, and that's what I did. And luckily it kind of took off for me, like, you know. So I'm on the biggest tour now that I've ever done by a long stretch, and it keeps on getting bigger too, even extended into the UK and stuff like that. So yeah, I couldn't be happier, because it's a big, this time last year, I was torn and contemplating, oh, can I give up my job? And it's really lovely, the fact that it's just paid off. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Absolutely. Like
the last 7 or 8 months, like I said.
But it is all about the hard work that you're putting into it, you know, and, you know, the when you're doing the gigs, you know, from watching it, you enjoy it so much and you feed off the crowd and, you know, but it must have been like, it's a big step to sort of go, okay, I'm going to give up my full-time job and put everything I have into this, because it's not an easy road to go down.
No, it's not. I've been on it before, like, but it's a great crack. The road, it's brilliant fun most of the time, you know, but yeah, it's not the easiest road to go down. I mean, I've been doing it a long time. I'm doing comedy probably close to 18, 19 years, you know what I mean? When I started out doing it as a hobby for a couple of years, and then I was full-time for 12 years. But I do, I absolutely love it, and that's kind of what it came down to. I was like, you know, I didn't mind the job, actually. I wasn't one of them people that hated my job at all, but I absolutely love doing comedy. I love making people laugh, even when it's talking about something that I'm miserable about. I get great joy out of making people laugh and relate with something like that, you know.
And you do an awful lot of comedy, you know, about your family and things like that. Do they ever give out to you about it?
No, not yet, thank God. Not yet, because I'm really screwed. If they start giving out to me and I start having to give stuff up, I'll be fairly screwed. So far, they've been able to laugh, and they actually love it.
Of course they
do. My mum and dad come to all my shows, mainly at the Everyman every year. They come to the big one, and you know, my dad's like a celebrity in there then, like.
Of course he is.
And they're like, oh, Jesus, just Georgie there. And he's delighted with himself, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, you know, he has to get some kind of recognition from you, you know what I mean? So fair play to him.
Yeah.
It's a big weekend, of course, down here. Sea Church, the venue in Ballycotton, is going from strength to strength, and they are great for promoting all different types of things to do with the arts, whether it's literature, music, folk music, comedy as well. You're down for the weekend, and it's going to be it's a fantastic lineup.
Oh, it's amazing, honestly. I mean, I've been kind of lucky enough now to start working with the lads in Sea Church, probably around that time. But a year ago, we sort of set up a monthly comedy club called Alter Egos. And then I'm just kind of on board now with the comedy festival as well. And I'm delighted. I mean, the lineup is amazing. We have Kyla Cobbler, and we have Emma Doran, we have Eleanor Chernin, we have Bernard Casey, Vittoria Angeloni, all these exciting names, you know, that are already kind of selling out the likes of the Opera House and stuff like that, with Ross Brown as well. And I'm really buzzing about it. It's a brilliant, brilliant lineup.
It is a brilliant lineup, and you know, I suppose it's in the consciousness at the moment about comedy and sexism in comedy, and I'd have to ask you, like, you know, I'm looking at the lineup, and there's a very strong female presence in this comedy weekend. You know, I mean, Kyla Cobbler, I saw her in the Roundy. And I have to say, she's going to be huge. She's incredibly funny and such a wonderful, wonderful performer when she's on stage. Like, she's just going to be a superstar, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, definitely.
And you have Emma Doran, Sinead Quinlan, as you were saying, Ciara Barnes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in your opinion, and I'm not putting you on the spot here, but, like, you know, do you find that it's a 50-50 split with women as funny as the men?
100%, 100%, yeah. I mean, there's no real kind of split, or, like, one of my favourite comedians is Eleanor Ternan, who was also on it, and we've known Eleanor for as long as I've been doing comedy. Like, we started out together, you know. Myself and Eleanor Ternan have done all these previews down through the years of people. I've seen all of her shows. She's absolutely brilliant, you know.
Yeah. And do you think that there's a difference, like, as a female comedian or a male comedian, or does it not matter?
Well, I mean, a difference as in being one, or from
the difficulty of becoming successful. I mean, if you're funny, you're funny, regardless of...
If you're funny, you're funny. And something that we were definitely conscious of going, let's try and make it, because it can be boring for an audience if it's all kind of the same... kind of acts at every single show, you know what I mean?
You try to mix it up a bit, I suppose, and just...
Exactly, absolutely, yeah, definitely. And I think just from a punter's point of view as well, it makes a difference if there's stuff across the festival now for everybody, like, you know?
For sure. And you've David McSavage as well, who is just a huge name, you know, to be down in the Sea Church. But, like, he is sort of well-established, but I'm loving all these names that, you know, you'd be going, who's that now and who's that? And
yeah, well, look into them, because
there's
a reason. I mean, I'm doing comedy, like I said, 19 years, and I went, okay... I mean, some of the names there you mentioned, you might not know them all, but believe me, they're absolutely incredible, and they're already, like I said, selling out the likes of the Opera House, the Everyman. They're doing huge tours, like Emma Doran's on Three Vicar Streets or something like that, you know what I mean? They've all done the Everyman, and like Shane Clifford as well. Shane Clifford and Eleanor Ternan are probably two of my, they're all brilliant, but they're probably two of my favourite comedians down there. Like, we had Shane down in T-shirts before, and honestly, I think he was probably the most talked about act that was down there. Yeah, just from the punters and stuff, everybody loves him. He's absolutely brilliant. I think he's going to be huge as well, like, you know, so.
Yeah, and I suppose, like, for you, you know, as you said now, you've got a family, and your wife is saying to you, you know, throw yourself into this. So what is the best thing about, you know, doing all these tours? You're saying you're going to embark on a big tour, and what's the worst thing about it? So first, what would be the best thing about the whole thing?
The best thing is just being able to play all these beautiful rooms that I might have opened for comedians there in the past. Like, I had done Vicar Street and I had done the Everyman myself, but everywhere else I'd have been in kind of modest enough venues, but now I'm kind of in all the bigger venues myself, and it's a bit surreal, and it's amazing just to kind of walk out. And for instance, we were down in Dolan's, and I've done Dolan's every single year in Limerick, and I've always done the kind of Casbah, which is about 80 or 90, and I've been happy with that, you know. But this year now, the last two, I did it twice in the last 2 weeks, but we did the big room in the warehouse, and that's like 250 people, and we're doing three of them this year, you know. So it's just a real kind of buzz that all them people are coming to see me, and like I said, normally I'm opening up for people in these rooms. I'm in Waterford as well this weekend in the Theatre Royal. I support comedians there. I've only dreamed of playing it myself, and now
amazing.
I'm pulled out for myself again on Saturday night. So
that's incredible.
That's definitely my favourite part. It's getting to do my... I love doing support acts at 20 minutes and 15 minutes, but I kind of like... I'm a storyteller, and I love doing the big hour show.
For sure.
And the fact that I get to do it out to all the big crowds is... that's what I'm buzzing the most about. And that's my favourite part, definitely. And having fun with my friends as well, like sport acts.
I mean, do you suffer at all from stage fright, or how do you sort of, you know, get yourself ready to go on stage? You know, do you go off and not talk to anybody at all, or are you dead casual? Do you just walk out on stage and just carry on as normal, or do you suffer a little bit from stage fright or anything like that?
Oh, I'm fairly casual, actually. Yeah, I'm fairly casual. I used to suffer terribly from nerves in the beginning, especially when I got into for a couple of years. I would kind of almost feel sick, physically sick. But now I don't at all. When I know the show,
of course, yeah.
When I know the show, I'm fairly good. Like, you know, because when I'm writing a show and it's in the early phases, I may need a little bit of time beforehand just to kind of get my head together and try and remember. You know, trying to remember an hour of material, really, like, you know. But when I know it, I'm more relaxed about it. Yeah, I'm happy enough. Cornelius, Patrick O'Sullivan is kind of my support act for most of them. He's a good friend of mine, and we're just always having great crack backstage, messing around. And I find, like, the more relaxed I am backstage, to be honest with you, the better the gig all is anyway, you know. So I try and not think about it too much until, try and be in the moment, you know what I mean? Just be present with it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just kind of doing the show for the sake of it and trying to say all the words in the right order, you know what I mean? I try to bring something new to every gig if I can.
Of course. And what would be the hardest thing for you then, so when you're on the road all the time?
Oh, that's exactly it, actually. No, that's the hardest part, is the road.
The road.
It's the travelling. The travelling's the hardest part. I tried to curate the tour where I'm not too far away on a Thursday, because I need to come back and bring the kids to school on a Friday most of the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of the hardest part for me, really, is just being on the road and being away from the kids. But, like, Ireland is small enough. I can get home most of the time, but you could have 3 nights in a row where you're kind of getting into bed at 1 or 2 o'clock and then I'm up with the kids again the next morning, like, you know.
Yeah, it's no joke. It's the reality of being a dad, I suppose, and doing the job that you do.
And being a stand-up. But then I get all week with them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This time last year, I was also working and doing that, so I didn't even get time with them during the day either. And we've a couple of weekends planned where I bring them with me, and a couple of weekends where maybe I can just get to bring my wife and some of my kids for a day or two, and that might be nice as well. We look forward to that, you know.
Absolutely, take those days. Keep those people in your life. You need those people in your life that'll take the kids.
Exactly, but honestly, it's genuinely a dream come true. Like, I know it sounds kind of cliche to say it, but that's a small part of it, just being on the road and the kind of late nights. But I'm very grateful, and I feel very privileged to be able to do it for a job and making people laugh. Yeah. I mean, Jesus. What more could you ask for? Like, you know?
No, it's such a great feeling to, you know, to make people laugh. And do people always expect you to be funny then? We'll say if you're, you know, in the queue in the chemist and they recognise you, oh, there's the funny guy. Do you have to be funny? Do you have to be on all the time?
A little bit. Very, very few people, actually. But it does happen. It does happen where people will be like, oh, Jesus, you don't seem like a comedian. You know? And I'm like, it kind of takes me a while to get to know people, actually. I'm quite introverted and... do you know what I mean? I might not be the most talkative person around them for a while, and our personalities might match up in that sense. But mostly people are good with it, actually.
They
come to my stand up and they know that. And ever since I've gotten a bit of success online now, I do get noticed a lot, and out in Cork especially, you know, I'm getting selfies. And
of course,
at me, and it's great crack. It's absolutely great crack.
It is.
It would mainly be people now who you probably would have worked with, or people that, you know, because I would have been in a different headspace, definitely, when I was in work. I wouldn't have been in comedy mode, I suppose, you know what I mean?
The funny electrician. You were an electrician, weren't you?
I was an electrician, yeah.
Yeah, or you still are an electrician, I should say.
Yeah, I still am, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And some of them would be taken aback and go, oh, he's, you know, he's different. He's not, I don't know how you could be a comedian. And I get that. A bit of a leap to make in your own head, you know, but
but you know, the thing is that you're telling stories, that you're very, very good at telling the stories, and you tell a very funny story. So, you know, you might not necessarily be doing that when you're, like, you know, working away. So you have two different parts of your life.
Two different parts of my life, and it's different. Yeah, it's stories.
Yeah.
I do have jokes as well, but they're often they're obviously jokes within stories.
Of course.
Out of context, and they don't really work unless you're building the whole scene, and I can't just do that when you're standing at the bottom of a ladder for somebody.
No, you can't, really, to be fair. And tell me, how do you deal with hecklers? Do you find that, are you able to incorporate, like, they don't sidetrack you at all, they don't faze you, so they don't?
No, and they're not too frequent, if I'm being honest. Most of the time, I would say 99% of cakes almost don't have hecklers, you know.
That's great that you don't have to be dealing with people, particularly after a few pints, that are shouting things up at the stage at you.
That's it, exactly, yeah. I mean, to be honest, it's kind of an in-the-moment thing. I don't have stock lines. I don't have something that I can just randomly fire at anybody.
Yeah.
I don't really, that's not my stuff.
Not your
stuff. I'd rather get to the bottom of it and stop and have a chat with the heckler. And if I can kind of make people laugh that way, that's kind of how I deal with them, you know. And if they're too disruptive then with the show, which is the only thing that happens every now and again when people just have a bit too much to drink and they can't stop talking, and next thing you're sitting behind them trying to watch the show and you're like, oh my god, this guy just won't shut up, like, you know.
So yeah,
that's when it becomes a problem, and that's when it becomes like, oh, they can kind of ruin a show.
Take away. Yeah.
Luckily it doesn't happen.
Well, that's great.
And the only way to deal with it is in the moment, really.
For sure.
You try and talk them out of the room sometimes, or, you know what I mean, or just kind of you get the crowd on your side fairly easily, and often as soon as you get a laugh at their expense, they're fairly quiet then.
That's it, they're done then after that. But tell me, have you any advice, you know, if somebody is thinking about saying, you know, I wouldn't mind giving it a go, what can people do to maybe hone their craft like you've had to do for so many years?
I would research it. I would have a little think about what you're going to talk about. What you think is funny is very important as well, I think. Not what you think other people might find funny. Genuinely, what you think is funny. I think if you try and write down these thoughts, articulate it as best as you can, try and write a few jokes about it, and then research it. Look at the area you're in. See if there's any open mics. There's a lovely comedy scene in Cork at the moment. Loads of new comedians and loads of clubs that are kind of giving up-and-comers a few minutes, you know. Be aware as well that you might have to book this a couple of weeks in advance at least, you know. So do your research. I think Collins on a Tuesday night in Cork have an open mic night. You can sign up for that. And I would say just sign up for it and write out some jokes and try and write some material or some stories. Practice it before you do it. Try and say it out loud so you know it, and then just go up and see how you feel, and if you love it, just do it again and try and learn from there then, and you kind of build and build and build. Like, we all start off with a couple of minutes, do you know what I mean? And this,
yeah,
I was inspired to do comedy at events like this, you know what I mean. Des Bishop did a show in Knocknaheeny called Joy in the Hood, and I wasn't on it, but I went to see the guys at work, and that's what inspired me to do comedy, because they were all just normal guys, and they were doing stand-up, and they were talking about stuff in their life, and they were making people laugh. And then I went to some other gigs, and again, they were making me laugh. So even going to a night like that, even going to an open mic night, because you'll be more inspired seeing somebody that's kind of, I guess, do you know, like, if you go to see Tommy Tiernan...
He's so established, like, yeah.
To make that leap in your mind, I can do that, but you don't realise it. He's been doing it over 20 years. So if you go to a kind of an open mic or an amateur night, you see people giving it a go and they make you laugh, you go, okay, maybe I could do that. So I think maybe go to an open mic first, get talking to the people, and then write down some stuff that you want to do, I guess. And you know, the comedy circuit is usually pretty friendly. A lot of people will help you, and then they'll tell you, oh, there's this other show now next month that you should try and get on, or blah, 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 you know.
And before you know it, you too could be Cork Person of the Month.
That's exactly, yeah.
Listen, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you, and it's going to be a great weekend, starting on Friday, running for the weekend, and your tour is are you kicking off the tour in Ballycotton, or are you just...
I'm about 3 weeks into it. It's actually kind of a break from my tour in Ballycotton, really. I'm touring all weekend, and then I'm down there on Sunday hosting the closing.
That's right.
With Bernard Casey and Vittorio, and there's a great lineup there. What I was going to say as well is I could give away a few tickets as well. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. Give away a few tickets.
I'll say that, yeah.
Yeah, no problem whatsoever. We'll talk off air, and we'll happily give away a few tickets to people to come down and see you. But listen, thank you so much. It's really a pleasure, and you're going to just keep getting better and better and better. We know it, and we love you here anyway in CRY 104 FM.
Thanks a million.
Thanks a million, Chris. Talk to you soon. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.